Monday evening to everybody. I am your host of the Monday Night Kickoff, Charles Levi, also known as Redfish Chuck. Tonight, we're going to discuss a number of things, mainly about the upcoming boondoggle down in Chokoloskee, Florida. For those of you that don't know about the boondoggle, you may have been living underneath a rock for the last couple of months. We have been talking about the boondoggle for a while now, and it is fast approaching. We are less than a month away from boondoggleage. Yeah, that's a word. Look it up. So we'll talk about tackle to bring, gear to bring, other items that you might not think about that you might should bring down there with you, other goings-ons, and some activities that I think some of us have planned. So it should be good. So we'll get to the phones here in just a second. I got the landing crew with me and Mr. Becker as well, and we'll get to those guys in just a second. I'm going to do things slightly different this time. I'm going to kind of run through all of my checkout so-and-so and so-and-sos in the beginning of the show so we get that out of the way. The weekend before the boondoggle, which is February 10th through the 12th, the old Florida Festival in Apopka, Florida, is going to be taking place. We've got Tracy Lawrence, country music singer. He'll be there. Who else? What's the other guy's name? I can never remember. That's horrible. Jake Owen. That's the other guy. Jake Owen and Tracy Lawrence are going to be in concert. Jake Owen will be there Friday night, February the 10th. Gates for the concert open at 6 p.m. Concert starts at 7. And then Tracy Lawrence will be there Saturday. Gates for the festival open at 10 a.m. Concert for Tracy Lawrence starts at 6. I'll be giving away another couple of passes for that weekend. So if anybody wants to get involved or win tickets, we'll get into that here in a little bit about how you can go about doing that. The boondoggle will be the weekend after the old Florida Festival, which will be the 17th through the 20th. We'll be down in Chokoloskee State Park, State Park, I think is what they call it. No, Island Park, my bad. Chokoloskee Island Park. If you haven't made your reservations yet and you're kind of on the fence of whether or not you want to go, I would suggest that you do go. It should be a whole lot of fun. We got a pile of people that are going to be down there. I think a rough estimate is somewhere close to 40 people, if not more, because we've got, I think, over 28 that have already RSVP'd on just the yakangler.com site. And that doesn't include everybody that's going with those 28. So it should be a really good turnout. I know me and my wife just booked our rental efficiency, and there was only two or three of those left. I think two were left after we booked ours. And I think three, maybe four tent sites still available. So it's getting filled. There's other accommodations outside of this particular area where we're going to be staying, but it would be nice to have everybody staying in the same area, make it a little bit more efficient for us all to kind of hang out and do the boondoggle type activities. So if you're interested in going down there and camping with us and you haven't made your reservations yet, you can contact Linda or Wayne at 239-695-2414. There you go. Make your arrangements. I think tent camping is like $39 a night. And if there's any efficiencies left, I believe those are like $110 a night. So if you are like me and like cable television and a bed and air conditioning and all the comforts of home, you could maybe still jump on that. But let's see what else is going on. Yakangler.com is your ultimate kayak fishing resource. Mark and Adam are helping us out with putting together the boondoggle. It's kind of a joint effort between Kayak Fishing Radio and Yakangler.com. So definitely give those guys some love. If you're not a friend of their page on Facebook, become one. Go to their website, join up. It's free. There's a lot of really good information to be had on yakangler.com. And that's pretty much all I'm going to get to right now. We'll dive right on into the phone lines and see what everybody is up to. Landing crew, how are you, sir? Mark Wheeler.
I'm hanging in there, man. How you doing?
I am doing fantastic, man. It's just driving me nuts knowing that we're so close to boondoggleage.
We feel up here in the bitter north, you know? Anything above South Carolina is cold and nasty and cold, you know, compared to you guys that are still fishing trout. And I saw G and Vicky tearing up the drum today, and, you know, kind of like, you know, I want to play too.
Well, move on down, dude. There's plenty of room for everybody. We are accepting out-of-towners. But, no, that's cool, man. Are you excited about the boondoggle or what?
I'm stoked, man. I know that we've been conversating and talking about it, you know, off air. And, you know, there's just so much, you know, you can go one way and catch, you know, this and this, or go this way and catch that, or travel 20 minutes and, you know, be on a completely different species with a different, you know, look on how you fish them. It's just, you know, it's just a, you know, awesome area. So I'm stoked.
Yeah, man, it's going to be a whole lot of fun. It's going to be a lot of different, or totally different, fishery than what I'm accustomed to fishing. And as I told you earlier before the show, I don't even want to see a redfish or a trout, man. I mean, I don't mind catching them, but I'm not down there to target that. I want to try and get into some tarpon, some snook, some of the small grouper up underneath the mangroves and stuff, and, you know, have a good time. But Mr. Becker.
Sir.
How are you, sir? Are you there?
Nope. Okay. Yeah, that whole mute button thing apparently doesn't work the way I anticipated.
There you go. How are you doing, buddy?
Things are going very well down here on the southwestern coast of sunny Florida. High today was 78 degrees, partly cloudy, a light breeze. That's just for all you folks in the northern climes. And that's what you have to look forward to coming up at the boondoggle. Really looking forward to it.
Nice. No, yeah, right, Mark? In your face.
I'm sorry, what? I'm sorry, I thought this was a weather spot I was recording for the other station. I apologize.
Yeah, no problem. No problem, Mr. Becker.
No, it'll be great. Just think, the water down here will not hurt you if you fall on it. It's awesome.
God, he's killing me. All right, real quick, let's see. I got area code 707.
Spike here.
Spike, how
Happy
are you, brother?
Happy Monday, everybody.
Happy
Except
Monday to
those
Houston.
Of you in Florida are having that 78-degree weather.
Oh, yeah. Sorry about that.
Oh, man. Okay. No, I want you to have a happy Monday. I wish I was out there fishing with you. I'm looking on putting on my dry pants and maybe Wednesday, seeing if I can hook into a steelhead on the Russian River.
Oh, man. That sounds awesome.
You know, if I can't get a snook and I can't get a redfish, I might as well go for the salmon.
Well, that's definitely another
species. And that's all we got going on. We got a big crab event coming up on Sunday. Over 100 kayak fishermen and their friends and families and kids and everything are coming to Bodega Bay. And we're going to give away a fishing kayak and a bunch of swag and do some crabbing for the Dungeness crab, which we're still catching half limits to limits every day we go out. 20 to 25 pounds is what those 10 crabs weigh. And they haven't come down to under $7 a pound, $6 a pound in the markets.
Wow.
So we're pretty happy about it. Other than that, we had a week of rain, and now it's, or a long weekend of rain, I should say. And I give another week, it's California. We should be in a drought again.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, salmon's definitely on my bucket list. Of things to try and do. So maybe one of these days I'll have to meet up with you over there and take
the
a long
door is always road. Open. And I got to tell you, as much as we complain about the problems we have with our fisheries, and these are all justified complaints, we're paying attention to the salmon and the steelhead. And we got some pretty good healthy fisheries in the Russian River going on here. Not taking a lot of fish, but it's still legal to take fish, and that's a good sign. Every year, stronger and stronger and stronger numbers are being reported through the fish counting system. And the bite is on, and that's all kayak fishing, too.
Sweet.
That's a, yeah, you bet. Parked two cars, picked me up down at the bottom. No, I'm only kidding.
That's awesome.
What?
Man.
Paddle up river?
Nah. 727 area code, I got you on the line. Who's this?
It's Rob.
I figured so. What's going on, brother?
Oh, I figured, whatever.
Well, I always forget.
How you doing?
I always forget, man. I always forget. I'm doing good, brother. I'm doing good. Are you excited about the boondoggle?
I am, man. I'm, like, psyched. It's, I'm already making preparations, man. So I'm all ready to go. Went and replenished the tackle supply the other day.
Nice.
And they were definitely... low on curly tail, DOA curly tails. So I had to break down and get out of the DOA curly tail market and got some Cody River jigs with some interesting color schemes, like motor oil with gold sparkle curly tail.
Huh.
Yeah, I know. I never saw that before either. So
sweet.
It's, yeah. And it looks really good in the water, too. But anyway, went fishing yesterday, and no dice, man. I mean, I caught like 2 12-inch trout the whole day, and it was absolutely beautiful. Is Wheeler still on? Because he's, I got to tell you, it was about 80 degrees. I didn't have to have the Farmer John's on yesterday, and absolutely no wind. Not a speck of a breeze whatsoever. So it was actually, I was a little bit hot. I had two shirts on, and it was a little bit warm. My glasses were fogging up.
Oh, you too, man?
Anyway,
I hate that.
Oh, man. So I'm out there in, you know, we were in a pretty nice area. You know, there's lots of things to choose from in the area. Okay, you can go... deeper grass flats, you can go shallow grass flats, you can go mud flats, oyster bars, mangrove islands, you name it. It's basically this area that we were fishing yesterday has everything. So, with a really good tide, incoming tide, too. And
wow.
The salooners were like, you know, I mean, the tidal coefficient for yesterday, I think, was like 94, which is a really good day. So anyway, if you put any stock in that, water temp was still a little bit low. Everybody says that once the water temp gets over, you know, hit 62 or up is when the fish really turn on, and it was like 61 yesterday. And we couldn't buy a bite. Keith snuck in some frozen shrimp and nothing.
Wow.
Dippo. So we fished drop-offs. We fished everything. The thrill of the day was I was sitting there and I cast it up against the mangroves, and there's like a little trough about 10 feet out from the mangroves, you know, the shoreline, and here comes about a 20-inch redfish, and he's following my jig back, and I'm like, oh, okay, cool. So I just stopped it, right? And he swam up to it, and about then is when he saw me. I like moved or something, and he saw me and swam off, and that was like the thrill of the day yesterday. That and the dolphins.
The porpoises made it an appearance or what?
Man, they were swimming around in like a foot of water yesterday. I'm not kidding.
Sweet.
You. Chasing mullet and stuff.
Sweet.
Awesome.
Yeah, that is cool. Very cool. Well,
probably why there wasn't any fish in the area too.
Yeah, that would probably be a good indication. Well, I didn't fish this weekend. I had originally intended to, but I ended up working, which is not a bad thing. And I had a charter scheduled for tomorrow, but I think that the gentleman has canceled on me without calling me, so I'm going to call him later. He's supposed to call earlier to confirm, and he didn't. But anyhow, I'm going to try and sneak out at some point this week and try and reclaim the top position in the tournament, and because I've slipped to second. And, you know, I'm on these trout, and that's all I care about at the moment. But let's see. Okay, so Boondoggle. I thought to myself, self, what would be a really cool way to make sure that everybody gets something at the Boondoggle? Because we keep, you know, some of us keep talking about how our sponsors are going to send us some free goods and things like that to kind of give away and, you know, let people try out or whatever. So rather than having, say, 12 packs of one thing and 5 packs of another, just kind of throwing or pelting people with free products at, like, the first night dinner, whatever we do at the Boondoggle, and just kind of like whoever can catch gets like free stuff. I don't like that theory. I think what we're going to do is I'm going to buy a roll of raffle tickets, and everybody who shows up at the Boondoggle will receive a raffle ticket, and one single raffle ticket. So you are guaranteed to walk away with something. Whether it's, you know, a shirt or a couple shirts or a hat or some plastics or some hooks or wherever the case may be.
Yeah, but he got my hooked Carpe Diem hat.
That's all right. You guys are more than welcome to trade. However, there will not be any fist fights or anything like that over any of this stuff, I assure you. But so that's kind of the plan. I know I've got a couple of folks already so far who have committed to donate some things to the raffle. I'm pretty sure I'm going to be able to get some Reaction Innovation soft plastics. I know Captain Mike Ortego, who just logged in, has already said that he would give a Tackle Webs up for the raffle. I'm probably going to get some. I'm going to try and get some Bass Assassin. I know I've got some Exude coming. I've got, I think Hookup Jigs is going to give us some jigs to give away, and bucktails or whatever. I got a bunch of other calls in and stuff like that. I know I spoke with my buddy Brian, today from Penn or from Pure Fishing. He's the, I think, account manager for Florida from Pure Fishing Company. And I asked him if he would be able to come up with something for the raffle. For those of you that don't know, Pure Fishing basically owns the entire world of fishing. Berkeley.
Only 95% of it.
Right. Everything from Berkeley to Penn, Shakespeare, Abu, all that kind of thing. So, he's going to try and get something together for me. He's also going to be a guest on the show in the next couple of weeks. And we were talking about him maybe possibly giving away a free pen battle on the show, or nice. Another pen reel. So yeah, so look for that to come.
Cool.
Let's see. So yeah, anyways, the plan would
if
be
I
to...
If I can put my 2 cents in, Spike,
sure
here on that
Spike.
Raffle thing.
Yeah, man.
The way to go. We did the first kayak fishing tournaments back in the mid-90s.
Yeah.
And from the rules to the raffle, that raffle is the best way to go. A big roll of those red tickets, you hand
yeah.
one to them, hang on to the other one, go once around so everybody gets something.
Yeah, that's what we're going to do.
And it works out great that way. And if you get enough sponsors and swag, sometimes you can go around more than once. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, well, the plan would be Friday night to get a head count of how many people are there. And if there's any that are straggling in on Saturday, you know, we'll find that out at that point. But we really need to find a definite number of how many people are going to be with us. I know on Yak Angler we've got like 28 that are registered. But again, we've got, you know, like my wife's come and she doesn't count in that 28. I know that there's some other wives and children that are coming along with other folks, and people are bringing friends down. So we kind of have an unknown number of people that are going to be joining us. I expect to see at least 40 people. And that's just, you know, figure everybody might would bring one other person, and then there's a few that'll be bringing up to four or five people with them. So, you know,
I think we had in Jacksonville, I think there was 23 people total. That was with wives and kids and dogs and everything else.
Right. Well, I mean, like I say, we've already got, just in the Yak Angler users, we've got 28, I think, that are confirmed that they want to go or that they're going to go. So
right.
If they all show up, then we should do good. What? Okay, let's see. Let's crack on Chuck Knight probably again. Nice to meet you, Mrs. Levi. You seem nice enough. I wonder why Chuck said
she
on the radio
know.
Show that you don't. Oh, wow. Awesome. Thanks, buddy.
Wow.
Mr. Becker. So anyway, so that's the theory. The theory is we're going to get all this swag together and we'll make prize packs and, you know, everybody will get a prize pack. What I'm really trying to accomplish is finding out how many kids, and you guys can kind of spread the word for me as well, how many children are going to be there or, you know, younger adults are going to be there. Like, I know the clone's coming. I think Hammerhead's bringing his kids down. So, you know, I want to get a rough guess because I'm going to try and get either Penn or Shimano or somebody to donate rod and reel combos for those guys. So
is that for the next Boondoggle in a couple weeks?
Yep. So anything that we can get is greatly appreciated. I know most of the guys that listen to the show are on some sort of a pro staff here or there or whatever. And, you know, I'm not asking you to go above and beyond anything that you would normally be able to do, but if you're in, like, Flynn with your sponsors, feel free to get a hold of them and see if they're willing to give anything. I mean, I don't care if they give a stack of stickers away. Kids love stickers. You know, I like stickers. I got a beer fridge out in the garage. It's slap full of stickers. So, you know, stickers, hats, shirts, that kind of stuff, any kind of lures or tackle or any kind of thing like that would be appreciated. And like I say, make it a free raffle. Everyone walks away with a goodie bag in the beginning of the Boondoggle and kind of sets a really cool tone for the event, you know. Me and Landing Crew, we were talking about possibly doing some sort of a bigger prize, maybe charging for the tickets on that and donating whatever proceeds we can raise from that to one of the various charities that are intertwined with kayak fishing, whether it's the Heroes in the Water program or one of those. So we'll talk more about that as we get closer. But in order for something like that to really be effective, I think we'd have to get a pretty major prize. And to cover the cost of that prize, if we had to come out of pocket for it, would be kind of tough with only 40-some-odd people, you know, with tickets. So we'll see. We'll play that one by ear. But
Jackson Kuda.
Yeah. Well, dude, hey, I mean, trust me, I haven't finished exploring every option that I may have to see what all I can come up with. I don't know that we're going to get a Jackson Kuda out of it, but we'll, you know, I'll see what we can do. And as far as even with any other manufacturers that would be willing to donate something. I mean, it'd be really cool to have a kayak to be able to raffle off, but we'll see. So
if I can use the benefit of my experience here, you guys, whatever swag you can get from sponsors right now is a blessing. Most of these people that we talk to really want to know what we're doing next year so they can put it in their budgets.
Yep.
And if they know that the Boondoggles are an ongoing thing, I would definitely communicate that and let them know that, you know, we'd really like to see your support for 2013. And it might be a little easier to get swag for this year. In the meantime, I'm looking at the kayakfishing.com shelves, which are pretty bare, but I do see some stuff that will help boost the swag offering for the next Boondoggle. And give me a holler after the show, and I'll get a box out to you tomorrow.
Sweet. Sounds good. Appreciate it,
yeah.
Spike.
And
to follow up with that, I mean, being in the industry as I have been for the last couple of years, I've watched a decline of the free goods kind of start to really dry up. And it is just it really represents what's going on in the industry. It's tough right now, you know. So anything
and
that,
the economy, both.
Yeah. So anything that is given is greatly appreciated. And you know, it's going to be a great event, man. I can't tell you guys enough how excited I am about it. I mean, I keep Google Earthing it. I think every 15 to 20 minutes, I need to like remember where I was or looking at or whatever. I probably already have it photographic in photoed in my mind as to where I want to go, where I want to fish, you know, how to get there, how to get back. It's like I've printed out the maps and it's dumb. I think I need to go seek therapy or something now. But you know, it's going to be fun. And getting into the fun, let's talk a little bit about what to bring down there as far as tackle goes. I think we're close enough now where that's kind of a good topic to discuss. I personally am going to go down there looking for, like I said before, snook and maybe some tarpon if they're still around. The groupers that will be in and around the mangroves, hopefully, and the other species that I don't typically get to check out up here on my coast. So I've already got a pretty significant array of hard plastics. And from what I've been told from various friends of mine who have fished in Chokoloskee, suspending baits work really well for the snook and for mangrove snappers and some of the other things. Even some of the groupers will come out of the mangroves and eat a suspending bait. Redfish and trout will eat it as well. And the suspending bait, like a twitch bait, something that kind of doesn't sink all the way down to the bottom, if you're not familiar with the term suspending bait. Rapala makes one, the Twitch and Wrap. Miradine from Mira Lure is another one. There's a whole host. Every hard bait manufacturer, for the most part, makes some sort of a suspending plug. Something without a lip on it would be preferred, I would say, because you wouldn't really want it to dig in the bottom over there with all the oysters that we're probably going to encounter from the experience I've got from my friends who have fished there. I've never been there personally, but you know, trust me, I've burnt more phone calls the last couple of weeks than I think I ever have to these folks. So, and then, you know, soft plastics, of course, are going to be a big hit. Jerk baits and shad tails, that kind of thing. Color combinations, it's truly, from what I understand, up to you. I don't think these fish are that finicky or that picky. Something that looks relatively natural, I'm sure a root beer and chartreuse tail wouldn't hurt to have that. Arkansas Glow from DOA is a great color, kind of matches a lot of the small bait fish that swim in and out of mangroves and estuaries and stuff. And don't forget, we're basically fishing at the Everglades. I mean, we're right there. So a lot of that tannic water that comes out of the backwaters, you're going to see a lot of interesting stuff up in there. And the fly selection will be interesting as well. I know I talked to Chip. And Chip's going to bring down his fly vise. I'm going to have my fly vise with me and all my fly tying stuff. So I think one night maybe we'll just sit around and tie a bunch of flies or whatever. And for those of you that have buggy whips that want to try and do that. But I expect things like shrimp patterns and crab patterns to probably work pretty well down there. Bait fish patterns, of course, are going to work real well down there. Anything with like a polar fiber or marabou body, something that really moves quite a bit, would be good. Mike Ortigo is saying rattle trap silver with black, blue, or green backs are awesome. Uh-oh. So, yeah, Mark's happy. And let's see. Cool. So I think that's pretty much going to be for the tackle stuff. That's going to be it as far as the artificials. Just cover your soft plastics, your flies, your hard baits. Topwater plugs should be definitely in your arsenal. Lately, I've been really favoring that Zara Spook Jr. And the Rapala Skitterwalker, two of my favorites. I'll tell you what else. Don't forget your bear hooks. Okay, this is going to be one of those trips where I'm not going to feel bad about pulling out a live bait bucket and throwing a shrimp up near the mangroves or trying to cast net some white bait or some mullet or whatever's around. Sometimes you have to do that in these areas, especially for us guys throwing flies. It might behoove you to try and do that. you know, casting a bunch of baits up and then throw a handful of them out, stun them a little bit, throw them out, get those snook and stuff out of the mangroves and hurl a fly towards it. That might be a good plan of attack. So with that being said, my personal preferences on hook selection, I really like owners and I really like gamagatsus. I like mustad hooks as well, but I kind of favor the owner hooks a little bit more than the other two companies, just for personal preference. I've had really good success with them. I've never really pulled a owner out of a package and never had a sharpening issue or anything like that. I tend to sharpen my hooks anyways, but still, an array of sizes, probably starting with something from like a 5.0, 6.0 even, for our nighttime shark fishing excursions, all the way down to, I would say, probably even a 1, or maybe even as small as a 2, depending upon what size baits we end up with. Again, if we get a bunch of white bait, the lighter the hook, the better the bait will swim, the more natural it'll look, ta-da, ta-da, ta-da. Your leader material, don't forget to bring plenty of leader. Again, we're fishing in an area that's going to have some oyster beds, going to have a lot of mangroves and that kind of thing. So you're going to get a lot of nicks in your leader material, and you're really going to need to change that out quite a bit. I'm going to start, I'm going to have one of my rigs set up with as light as 12, and I'm going to go from 12 to 60 for the grouper in the mangroves if they're there. I don't want to break any fish off, so I'll rip their face off and pull them out of the mangroves if I have to with the 60-pound. And the shark stuff, I'm probably just going to use long shank hooks with monofilament rather than wire in case they get broke off. I don't like to see sharks swimming around with wire hanging off their face. But, you know, we'll get into that again as we get closer. We'll kind of define everything a little bit tighter as far as all the tackle and that kind of thing goes. But I'm definitely bringing down. It's funny because I pulled all of my rods and reel combos out of the garage the other day, and I laid them all out, and I'm looking at them, and I'm like, good God, I don't even know where to start. Might have to rent a U-Haul truck to get all my gear down there that I want to bring. So I've pretty much narrowed it down to a 6-weight fly rod, an 8-weight fly rod, and a 12-weight fly rod. And then I've got two spinners for me, two spinners for Mrs. Levi, and then a baitcaster for me, and then two Abbotts on basically trolling rods for the shark fishing, one for me, one for the wife. So, yeah, there you go. So it'll be interesting. What do you got lined up, Mark? What are you bringing down as far as tackle goes?
Next to the, well, I'm going to bring down the small tackle shop. I'm bringing down a bunch of laser trocar hooks. If y'all haven't tried these hooks yet, and you look at the price point, you go, $8 for a handful of hooks, folks. It's because you just don't know. You really don't. That's the point where you can really, you know, either catch the fish or lose the fish is that hook. And they're the only hooks I'll use now. But enough of my plug. I'm going to be, bring down pretty much the same thing, a bunch of my, custom-made baits, suspending baits, stuff like that, rattle traps, shallow running crankbaits. I'm going to basically think, bass, for the snook and everything. Going all the way down to the leader, I'm looking at, starting out the same thing as you, 12-pound. I won't probably go as heavy as you. I'll probably go 40 or 50 pound for the grouper and stuff like that. I'll just short shank the leader real close, and I think that's something else we need to mention is, folks, you don't need a 20-foot leader for down there. If you got to keep on retying because it keeps on getting frayed, 18-inch to not even that, 12-inch leader would be more than sufficient for anything you need to worry about. And no, I will not bring gulp there, Missy. Although I have most respect there, Chris. But at the leader. Rod selection, man, I'm like, yeah, I've got more rods I know what to do with. But I know for the larger baits, or if I might be meat chucking, I've got my Corrado 300 that's going to be spooled up with 60-pound braid. I'll use that for, you know, any big grouper or anything like that. I think I'll winch out a small boat off the bottom. Going to bring the Abbott for the sharks. Maybe that lost my train of thought on the reel. You know, another heavy rod for sharks, and then pretty much my whole bass selection of rods for everything else. So I'm gonna, like I said, have a small tackle shop on the front and in the back of the truck. So
sweet. So that's good. That's, yeah. Like I say, as we get closer, I'm gonna break down a list of tackle that, you know, sizes of the hooks, the series numbers of the hooks and all that kind of thing. I don't have it all in front of me tonight, but you know, if you guys are interested in seeing what I'm bringing down there. Rob, I know you're bringing down your meat stick.
Yep. It's the ugly stick boat rod with a Penn 6500 spinning reel on it, spooled with 65-pound test Power Pro. And 85-pound big game, trilene big game quarter liter. That's just my heavy rod. I use that for all heavy applications, tarpon, sharks, grouper in the mangroves, whatever. It's all purpose. Yeah, I'm bringing that. I'm bringing the buggy whip, my trusty 8-weight. And two spinning rods, and that will do it for me.
Sweet.
As far as fly selections, might want to look into, if you're looking to tie up before you get there, look for some mangrove muddlers if you want to make some of those up. If you want the pattern for it, go to Aaron Adams' website, and it is under his saltwater fly selection. How to, he's got a bunch of fly recipes there, which are quite good. The beach fly, the snook beach fly pattern is outrageous for snook. Okay, so it, you know, tie some of those up. Those will definitely work for you. I'll probably be bringing my vise too, and some fly tie-in stuff, and we'll have a little fly tie-in sit-in for a little while there. I'll show you how to make my, anybody that wants to know, I'll show you how to tie the bead chain eye clouser, which is a Bad Back Cast favorite.
Sweet.
Simplified bead chain eye clouser. And word to the wise, anybody that's going to the boondoggle, bring your kayak wheels. If you don't have them, get some. There's that was one thing we were sorely lacking last time, because we had about a half-mile trip to the launch from our campsites, and it was quite a haul, and I think we only had like three sets of wheels there. So definitely bring your wheels if you don't have any, and I would advise getting some with the scupper hole, the kind that fit into the scupper hole, like the Hobie style. Those are far superior to the, what do you call them, the strap-on kind.
Yeah, but be careful with that, because I do know of several people over here that have cracked the seam inside their scupper plugs by using those.
Hey,
so,
if you don't mind my jumping into that, too.
Yeah.
Back in the old days when there were only a couple of companies manufacturing kayaks, that was like Aquaterra and Ocean Kayak, one of the standards of industry was that the scupper holes were the weakest part of the boat. And while I haven't heard of people cracking boats with them, you really got to be careful with those. And I beg to differ. I think strapping it around on a wheel cart is definitely, your boat's going to last longer. And if you are using those scupper hole wheel carts, make sure you're moving an empty boat, because a heavy loaded boat will help tweak those scupper holes too. All right, I'm off the soapbox.
No, that's great advice, man. Awesome.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, I'm with Rob. I mean, I know guys that have used both and had success with either or, but that's just my interpretation of what I've got out of the carts. I don't personally own one, nor am I looking to buy one. I'll never use one besides a boondoggle for where I fish because I can back right up to the water and drop in and all the spots where I'm at. But, no, that's definitely a good tip. Scuba Stan actually sent me a message on Facebook today asking me about a cart that he was looking to buy, and it looked pretty nice. I don't know. Looked like a cart that had wheels on it, straps on it, something like that. So it looked like it would work. So, but yeah, that's a great tip, man. Especially I was looking at the map of the campground, and I think I'm probably, me and Chip, I think are the furthest away from the launch area. So I don't know. We'll figure it out when we get there, I guess. Mr. Becker, are you there?
Sir.
Figure out the mute button, sir.
Yes.
What are you, what have you packed or what are you planning on packing to bring down with you to the boondoggle as far as tackle goes?
Everything.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. No, actually, it depends on how much room is left in the back of Haywood's truck by the time he gets done packing his entire garage. So I think I'm going to have room for a Popeil pocket fisherman and probably a small bag of gulp, and that'll be my tackle for that time we're there.
Dude, that's awesome. You know what, actually, it was funny. I thought about seeing if anybody would be interested in buying those little Mighty Mites. You ever see them little things?
Yep.
And having like a little Mighty Mite tournament and seeing who can catch the biggest fish on a Mighty Mite.
Yeah, do it for sharks. Really make it entertaining and just
that would be awesome.
Placement line.
I'd do it. I'd spool it up with like 7 wraps of 80-pound braid.
Game on. Now I'm bringing the basic usual suspects for inshore stuff. Don't have the real heavy gear that some folks have. I'm more of a lightweight tackle guy. So you know, none of the heavyweight stuff for tarpon, but my midweight stuff will do for that, I think, especially from the kayak if we wind up doing it. The fly gear is going to depend, unfortunately, on how my elbow feels that week and what the doctors say about that. I don't want to blow it up and mess it up for the entire weekend doing something that's not going to be practical. So
that will
see. If there's room in Haywood's truck, I may grab my portable fly bench and the couple boxes of materials that are here. And drag those down.
Sweet.
Aside from that, just looking to get away, hang out, and see what I can get to pull on the other end of my string. Absolutely. Yeah, when we're going down Friday morning, actually. So when you guys are all pulling in, we expect to have big shark pictures already on the board. So.
That's cool. No, I'm really, you know, it's so funny. My wife absolutely loves to shark fish. And when we take my offshore boat offshore out of Port Canaveral, we'll go through just an unimaginable amount of hooks. I always buy the really cheap Mustad hooks, just cheap, rust in like 3 hours in the water, cheap Mustad hooks. I buy them by the hundred. And, rather than messing with bull sharks and trying to get hooks out of their faces, these things, they literally rust out in a matter of days. And she'll just go to town. It's the funniest thing in the world. Grown men have succumbed to less sharks than she has. And she's just like shark guru. But that's
well,
what she's
know,
really
at
excited
the risk
about.
Of, at the risk of sounding like, you know, Mad Men on the radio, you know, Mrs. Levi doesn't matter. And, you know, I'll chain smoke and, you know, you and Chip can sit there and drink and all that stuff, you know. So it'll be just like Mad Men, you know, the TV show Mad Men, except on the radio.
There you go. There you go. But, no, so I'll be bringing down, again, the Abbotts. I got two Abbott LX6s that I'll bring down on some relatively stout rods. I don't fish a broomstick, but, you know, I like a little bit of a flimsy tip so that you can fight the fish a little bit better. But, Mr. Becker, I'll be sure to throw an extra heavy-duty rig in the truck for you if you'd like.
Nice.
Lord knows I have plenty of them. So,
If you get your truck stuck, we can all get our heavy duty rigs out and pull it out, right?
There you go. There you go. We'd be the human wenches. But more importantly than all of the gear and all of the fun stuff as far as tackle goes, with it being relatively warm out, I'm not real sure how the bug situation is going to be that we're that close to the Everglades. I know in the summertime that place is like, well, hell on earth, basically. So I would highly recommend bringing down some 100% DEET and maybe a blowtorch. And I don't know. I'm gonna have the thermocells with me, a couple of those. I'm sure at night we'll have some sort of bug issue, but during the daytime hours, I'll have the thermocells fired up, ready to ride. So that might be another thing for you guys to think about getting. Mr. Becker, I appreciate you.
And the time is now to get a thermocell before the turkey season starts getting closer.
That's right.
Once turkey guys start realizing, you know, Bass Pro starts selling out of those thermocells here about mid-February, you know. So definitely get a thermocell now and understand how that thing works and buy a bunch of cartridges and the little whammy things that go with it and, you know, just to make sure you're set up.
Cool. Mr. Becker, I appreciate you being on as always, sir. We'll see you. Well, we'll talk to you later on this week, I'm sure. So let's see. Thermocells, bug spray. Listen, we're going to basically be outside for 4 days or three and a half days or whatever. It would behoove you to pick up a buff or some sort of a face mask, whether it's from Buff Company, Fish Skins, or any of the other brands that that make the buff style headwear. Definitely get some good suntan lotion. I'm working on maybe getting a sample pack for everybody from one of our local companies here. Also, long sleeve shirts, not a bad idea. Lightweight or cotton, as I like to wear. And then some sort of a covered leg pant, whether it be like a Columbia style fishing pants or kind of like a tracksuit ish without the jacket because you look kind of funny. But, you know, that kind of thing. So, other than that, you know, plenty of food. Well, I don't know if we're going to have, how many nights we're going to have, you know, community dinners or whatever, but I know the missus and I are planning on making some stuff to share, so that'll be good. And for you alcohol drinkers, I know that Adam has already said he's going to bring down multiple bottles of adult beverages for people to try, so that will be interesting and entertaining, to say the least. And Chip Gibson has joined us in the chat room. Hi, Chip. Thanks for showing up with 10 minutes left in my show.
I can tell you, Chuck, real quick. Last time I went camping down in Big Cypress, which isn't too far from where we're going. And now, granted, it was Memorial Day weekend, and it was you get out of the car, and it was worse than that time over the goon, man. I mean, it was you were covered in mosquitoes in like seconds. So definitely bring your mosquito spray. You know, everybody asks what's in the big green box in the back of my kayak. Well, that's like my mobile outdoor store, kind of like the Landing Crew, but smaller. And I recently, you know, I keep a can of Off in there, you know, and sunscreen and everything else. Well, apparently it gets kind of hot inside of that box when I'm out in my kayak in the sun. And apparently it got too hot for the can of Off, and it decided to release itself all over the inside of my box. It actually blew a hole in my plug box. It went off so hard.
Wow.
I have a Flambeau, you know, medium-sized plug box in there with, you know, the mirror lures and stuff in it, and put a hole right through that bad boy.
Yeah, that's sweet. Yeah, so there you go. Be careful with storage of your bug spray and other combustible stuff. Don't leave it in the sun and inside of a case that traps heat. But yeah, there you go. So that's the safety tip of the week, brought to you by Rob, a bad back cast of ore.
Thank you.
Whatever. Don't blow yourself up. That would be unfortunate. So let's see. Me and Chip have been talking back and forth about the possibility of having either visors or hats or shirts or something printed with Boondoggle on it. I don't know if there's any interest from anybody who will be joining us down there for anything like that. If there is, please let either I or Chip know that you're interested, what you're interested in. This is not going to be a charitable situation where we're just going to, you know, hand out free hats and shirts and all that kind of thing for everybody. But what we're looking for is being able to just break even on the stuff. So if you can help us cover the cost, then it will be more than happy to do the legwork and get it printed. I've got a guy here, Anthony, who was a guest on the show before from Fish Skins, who does really good print work and embroidery. And he's been willing to take on the challenge of getting stuff done for us in a timely fashion for the Boondoggle. So, you know, I think Boondoggle visors or Boondoggle shirts or something like that would be really cool. However, let's not, you know, get ahead of ourselves and print like, you know, 50 of anything and get stuck with them all, because that just sucks. So I guess what we can do is either on yakangler.com, go to the general section or general form section, and we can do a sign up sheet and see if there's enough interest in even having anything printed. So there you go. The wife and I are going to be having koozies, I think, made, if we can get those done in time for everybody, and that will be an on us type of thing. We're going to cover that cost. So that'll be fun. Everyone likes a koozie, and everyone needs a koozie. So yeah, whatever. But we got 24 days and a wake up, and we will be hanging out and partying it up in Chuckalusky. And it should be a lot of fun. Chip's saying on the Boondoggle page at yakangler.com. Okay, there you go. So if you're interested in either shirts, we're going to do long sleeve shirts. If we do shirts, they'll say Boondoggle, Kayak Fishing Radio, yakangler.com, just like our banner across the chest, I think, is what we've kind of talked about. I'm even throwing around the idea of having the sponsors, whoever's willing to give us some goods, having their little logos printed across the bottom or across the back of the shirt. So, you know, it's nice to show those guys that we appreciate everything they've done for us, and, you know, whatever. That's a cool way to do it, just like a tournament shirt. But other than that, man, I'm just jonesing. All I can think about is snook and tarpon and baby groupers and mangrove snappers and whatever else, crustaceans that we're going to catch and all kinds of fun stuff. So I don't know. Yeah. If any of you guys have any questions, comments or concerns, and you want to ask me about them, please feel free. My number, my phone number is 321-302-6204. Feel free to contact me anytime. Or you can email me at chuckskayakadventures@hotmail.com. There you go. So if you have any questions of what to bring or anything like that, or if you don't happen to have a good local tackle store and you need stuff to be brought down to you or whatever, give me a list. I can make arrangements to bring down like care packages from Handler Fish and Supply. So yeah, I'm going to be putting holes in fish's faces. I'm glad you like that phrase, Chip. I should actually put that on a shirt. That should be the Boondoggle shirt. It should be like Boondoggle across the chest, and on the back says like, "We put holes in fish's faces." That'd be cool. I'd be into it. With like a snook with a giant hole in the side of his face. But I don't know, whatever. What else? How much time I got left? Oh, wow, check that out. I actually got 30 minutes if I want to burn it. Probably not going to. again, folks, listen, if you can make it down and make an extended vacation out of your trip down here to Florida, the Apopka Old Florida Festival is going to be going on. I know I talk about it a lot, but you know what? I'm going to be there, and I need to promote it. So February 10th through the 12th, I know a couple of you guys are locals. If you can make it over there, Daryl, it would be a good time to it'd be a good time to come over there and meet a bunch of folks. I don't care about PETA, Daryl. So if PETA doesn't like the phrase, then tough crap. At least they didn't write the people eating tasty animals on the shirt.
Yes, we do eat tasty animals. And,
absolutely.
Putting holes in fish's faces is a very intricate part in the delicacy that is animal.
That's right.
So deer, squirrels, it doesn't matter. It gets a hole in the face.
I will cover myself. Sure. I will cover myself in legal grouper blood and take a picture of me and send it straight to PETA.
Oh, no.
And then I'll also garbage bag everybody's fish skeletons from the trip and send that to PETA, too. So there you go.
Just give it to me. PETA's right down the street from the house.
Awesome. Those people need to find something better to do it themselves. But anyway, February 10th through the 12th in Apopka, Florida, Old Florida Outdoor Festival. If you want tickets to the festival, email me at chuckskyconventures@hotmail.com. Say hi. I want tickets to the Old Florida Festival. Please, 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 please. And I will be sure to put your name on a list and get you a pass. So there you go. Other than that, folks, I don't know what else I got besides making PETA mad. Yeah, that's pretty much it, I think. Tomorrow at 8, the Double L. Yep, tomorrow night at 8 o'clock, join the Lozier family. They're going to be doing their thing, talking all things fishing, Virginia Beach, and Mark staring at the water, not being able to fish, I guess. I don't know. Had to throw that in there, buddy. that's so wrong. Wednesday night, Landing Crew, you got your show. What are you going to talk about, buddy?
We're going to talk about tube jigs, using tubes. It's one of those things where I don't think people use tubes enough, because they think it's difficult to use, because there's quote-unquote easier techniques, the Senko and stuff like that. So we'll break down tubes and how you can use a tube even in the salt water and be successful. So that's coming up on Wednesday night.
Sweet. I think Chip's mad at me because I made fun of PETA. He said he's going to forward all the emails to me. That's cool. I don't mind. Awesome. And then Thursday night is Chip's show where he will not be making fun of PETA. Rob dropped off the line. He's a vegetarian, so maybe we offended him. I don't know. I think Mr. Becker's gone. Mr. Becker, you still around?
No, I left, but I came back just because I couldn't stand the thought of missing the fun that we have here on Kayak Fishing Radio.
Mr. Becker, are you planning on fishing this week?
As a matter of fact, this Saturday is tournament number 3 of the paddlefishing.com tournament series. We'll be fishing the south end of Pinellas County in Tampa Bay. It's a catch photo release tournament where the biggest overall slam wins. Because of the time of year, I think there's a Jacksonville slam or an East Coast slam in this where if they don't find a snook, they can substitute a flounder. Looks to be a good time. 60-some-odd people already signed up, and the weather's supposed to be nice. Small chance of rain, but regardless, the fish will be there. They're already wet, so they don't care.
That's right. That's right. Very cool. Friday night, Mr. Spike, you've got your show.
Kayak Fish in the Wild West. No PETA action there. Isaac's a fishmonger.
There you go.
We're going to focus on fishing the rivers, catching steelhead and salmon, and the kind of stuff that we have to resort to this time of year when the coastal season is closed until summer.
Very cool. Very
that
cool.
That will be tomorrow night, 5 o'clock Pacific time.
Friday night.
Friday night, that's right.
No
thanks,
problem.
All. I'll be
cool,
there.
Man. Hey, I appreciate it, Spike. I'll get with you and we'll
do that.
I appreciate it very much. Thank you, sir.
Thanks for having me on board tonight.
No, absolutely, man. Anytime.
Good fun, you guys.
Thanks, buddy. Again, guys, that's Spike from California, the true godfather of kayak fishing. The guy's been doing it since, I think, Jesus walked the earth. So,
didn't Jesus walk the water? He didn't need a kayak.
That's right. That's right.
Everybody else, though, Spike was right there.
God. Oh,
well, he
boy.
Is, that's two, because he got he's already got the Jesus beard, so they had a double take. Okay, that's Jesus, and there's Spike. Okay, he's over there in the corner.
That's right.
Okay,
that's
we're
right.
We're good.
Oh man, Spike wasn't pictured in the Last Supper picture because he was too busy catching fish. The weather was good.
Exactly.
Horrible.
What do you mean you only got a couple fish? Wait a minute, I'll go get more.
Yeah, check out kayakfishing.com if that tells you anything. Kayakfishing.com is Spike's website. Obviously, he was able to purchase kayakfishing.com. It gives you an idea how long ago he did that. So the guy is a wealth of information. If you ever decide you want to head over towards the California coast and do any fishing over there, get a hold of Spike. That guy is awesome. Cool. Oh my God. I don't know what else I can think of to talk about without offending anybody else. Oh man. Sorry, Chip. So yeah, we've covered kind of an idea of what to bring with you down there to Chokoloskee. I know we've got quite a few folks that are going to be joining us. I think that some of you guys are here in the chat room. Some ideas of lures and that kind of thing, colors and such. Oh my God. So this chat room is the worst thing ever for a radio show host, because you can't help but want to read what people put, especially certain people like Mr. Becker. It just ruins the kind of mojo of the show for me, because I just get off on a tangent and there's that awkward silence and then we laugh. And then those of you who listen to the podcast have no idea what I'm laughing at. It's just really weird, but, that's cool. Whatever. Yeah. Chip spit all over.
They should have, listened and been part of the chat room during
the live show.
The live boat cruise. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's one thing you can always look forward to on the Monday night kickoff show, especially, is that at some point, either I'm going to be made fun of, we're going to make fun of Rob, or we're going to make fun of everybody else who's on the show. So, everybody does their best to try and stump me in the chat room and get me to lose my concentration. But I've kind of learned to look away and glance only on occasion. And when I see certain individuals write a paragraph, I don't even read it. So, but anyhow, so, wow. Shit, man, you're killing me. So guys, listen, again, if you have any questions, concerns, or comments about Chokoloskee, the trip, whatever, the people to talk to for the Chokoloskee trip, it's Chokoloskee Island Park. Those folks are really nice down there, Linda and Wayne. The phone number again, 239-695-2414. Book your spot if you don't already have one. Join us if you haven't already planned on it. It's going to be a great time with great people and hopefully amazing fishing. So it's just awesome. Tackleweb.com. Captain Mike Ortego has been gracious enough to donate I think at least a 12 by 16 kayak bag to the raffle. It's a great tool. I've got it. Actually, you know what? I've moved that from the back of my kayak seat to the bottom of my kayak seat in my Jackson. Since the Jackson sits so high up off the deck, it'll fit underneath the seat. And the other day I had like 24 bags of soft plastic stuffed into it. So it'll hold quite a bit of stuff. Great product. Check them out. Again, it's tackleweb.com. I appreciate everybody giving Captain Mike a look over there. Yakangler.com is your ultimate kayak fishing resource. If you're not a member of the fast and one of the fastest growing communities in kayak fishing, please do so. It's free. It's a lot of really good information on the website. Mark and Adam do a really good job of bringing you guys the latest and greatest as far as what's going on in the world of kayaking. So yeah, check that out. And that's pretty much it. Yeti Coolers, thank you very much for what you guys are doing for me and hopefully doing for the Boondoggle. I know that we just picked up another follower on Facebook that is the Kayak Fishing Radio hosts. Costa Del Mar is now following us on Facebook, which is pretty cool. Maybe Costa will pony up and do something for us for the Boondoggle raffle as well. But yeah, other than that, without reading any more of the chat room and ruining my concentration, I'm going to bid you all a good night. And thank you very much for joining me again on a Monday night. I am your host, Charles Levi, a.k.a. Redfish Chuck. There you go. That's it. That's all I got.
Jackson Kayak.
Yeah, Jackson Kayaks. If you don't own a kayak, you probably aren't listening to my show. But if you do own a kayak and you're looking for a new kayak, check out the Jackson Cuda. To me, it's the baddest boat on the planet. There you go. And Mark, we'll we'll see about getting you on board there, buddy. Just take the gun away from your mouth.
It's only on the temple now, so we're good.
Good deal. All right, folks, again, thank you very much for listening, and we'll talk to you next week. Same time, same channel, whatever. Trey and Logan, please sleep. You haven't been, and I'm tired. Good night, everybody.